And happy body, mind, the great privilege.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamscha Namavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarunyascha Kripasindubhyo Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we had a very wonderful session by Mrs. Sujata Vaidya. I had come across her for the first time in a global conference, a global peace conference, which was held at MIT. And there she was giving a similar presentation. And then I was very eager to know more. They have a laboratory at MIT College. So she and her other few scientists, they are working together in this field. And she also is actively pursuing her spiritual path. So, because it had a close connection to spirituality, we had invited her this evening. And she is also a very active social welfare worker. She is practically busy all the time. And I would like to thank her for taking out her time and coming and offering us this evening seminar. Many of the things that she is speaking from a scientific point of view also have their scriptural counterpart. Like for example, scriptures say the physical vibrations like the light or the sound, they are first perceived by the conscious mind. And then they may go to the subconscious mind. Whereas the thought process or the thought vibrations, which is non-physical in nature, that is directly registered imperceptibly in the subconscious mind first. And then it gradually emerges into the conscious mind. That is why many times we don't even realize how the deep sanskaras that are created in our childhood, they start emerging outside later on as you grow up. Because these kind of thoughts, they directly go to your subconscious mind without even your knowledge. So I would like to say a few words about the aura and the thoughts that she has been talking. Like the thoughts, you know, we have thoughts like joy, love, peace, serenity, well-wishing nature for others. So we can have good thoughts, thoughts of good wishes to others. Then we can also have thoughts like jealousy, envy, anger, greed, these kind of thoughts. And these thoughts have a tremendous influence on our own system and in others also. It affects us and it affects others. Like for example, the thoughts are not limited by space and time. They can travel any distance. In fact, if you think of someone very badly in your mind, they feel hurt. And they can experience it. Somehow they may not know, but imperceptibly they realize it. that you hate them or you feel like harming them. So thoughts are like very potent weapons that are invisible, but they have a tremendous influence on others. Just like on your birthday, you may go and do namaskar to your mother and father and grandfather, grandmother. Or sometimes there's a birthday party where they celebrate, you know, where everyone comes together and offers their blessings to you. So these are probably imperceptible, but they have a tremendous influence on your system. Because all the people's blessings, the good wishes, the good vibrations, good thoughts, they all combine together to offer you the blessing and benediction for your well-being. That is why as soon as you do namaskar to some elderly person or your parents or someone, guru or anyone, when you do namaskar, immediately you evoke their compassionate nature in their heart. Immediately the good thoughts from their mind flow and envelop your body and mind. And that is how one makes progress. So many a times we find the Vedic truths may be accepted axiomatically, but they also have a scientific counterpart which is often not explained. So there is a difference between thought and the aura. Like for example, aura is always there with a person even when he is in deep sleep or in deep meditation or when he is in normal condition. But the thought waves are evoked only when you think of a thought. Aura is like a few feet emerging from the body, but the thought process, it travels far, to far distance. For example, depending on what kind of person are you, what is your character, or more precisely, what is your guna? Are you in sattva guna, or rajo guna, tamo guna? There are three gunas explained in Bhagavad Gita. Are you a person in the platform of goodness, or platform of passion, a platform of ignorance? Accordingly, there is a emission of aura from the system of a person. In fact, there is a field called a psychometry, where simply by analyzing the kerchief that you use, the clothes that you use, the pen that you use, are all the items used by a person, they can identify the character of a person. That is why saintly people, whatever items they use, they also become sanctified. We consider them holy, whatever is used by a saintly person. Same way, something used by a wicked person also has certain symptoms, the items used by that person. Same way, the company of a good person also influences you positively, and company of a bad person influences you positively, even if you don't talk to them. Simply being in their presence, being in their vicinity, makes a great influence. So it's a very great field. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains a great scientific concept. He says the thought transforms into a tangible form as soon as there is an opportunity. So I have taken a topic somewhat relevant to the today's theme as break free of bonds. As I proceed with this session, you will realize the connection between what we have been talking till now and to this topic. So Srila Prabhupada says, all of us in this world are conditioned. What is conditioned? He says, as soon as you enter a particular type of body, you are conditioned. And he's giving an example. In St. James Park, in the morning when Prabhupada was walking, he saw there were some ducks, you know, meandering in the banks. But as soon as Prabhupada and his disciples walked by, then all the ducks, they jumped into the water. So Prabhupada observed it. And then he's quoting here. Did you remember that as soon as they saw us, they jumped into the water? On the other hand, Prabhupada says, if somebody snatches me and puts me down into the water, dunks me into the water, then I will protest, isn't it? If any of you. Water is the same. Why one is seeking shelter and why one is afraid of water? This is material world. Because I am conditioned in a separate body and the duck is conditioned in a separate body. So he is saying, he is giving this example for how we are conditioned. Like we are conditioned to live on land, either in the water or in the aeroplane, sky high. We feel little fear. We are not comfortable. Similarly, a duck is conditioned to live in the water. So everyone is conditioned in that way in this world, put within certain conditions. For example, we all need food at a certain time. We need water at a certain time. And if it is deprived of, then we would perish. We cannot survive in this body. So in this way, in this world, there are many conditions to which you are subjected to. So we may have this question, if God is all-loving, then why does He make us suffer? All these conditions. Like there are six kinds of whips, it is said. Shoka means lamentation, moha means illusion, kshut, pipasa, hunger and thirst, and jara and mrityu, old age and death. These are all miseries in this world. So somebody may ask, why does God make us suffer? Prabhupada says, Krishna loves us, but if we don't want to do what He says, then we must naturally suffer. Just like, for example, a child may put his finger in the fire and not obeying the parents, then he may get his finger burnt. Similarly, when we do wrong things, then the nature is so arranged that the nature puts more constraint on us, more punishment. Just like sometimes when boys hear this topic called as break free of bonds, they think that we will be taught how to be free, to enjoy the life in the way you want. So this is a modern age of free culture, free thinking, free speaking and free acting, and do whatever you want, eat, drink and be merry, free culture. See what Prabhupada says about it. One disciple is asking Prabhupada this question. Prabhupada, is a smoker free to enjoy or has he surrendered his freedom? Isn't it, some boys say, isn't it, that I smoke whenever I like? I am a free bird. Nobody can control me. But Prabhupada says, yes, it is true. You are given some limited freedom. You can smoke, but you are not free from the results of smoking. Because in a cigarette packet it is written, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. So despite the government having put that statement, statutory warning, still someone who smokes may apparently be free to smoke, but he is not free from the results of smoking. Same way, Prabhupada says, the living entity has a minute freedom, but not absolute independence. We all have a minute freedom. He is giving an example. A child is allowed to play, but as soon as a child does something wrong, like taking a knife or going near the stove, immediately the father is there to catch him and correct him. In this way we can understand in this world that if we live our life in harmony with God and nature, then your independence will increase. If you live a life in harmony with God and nature. God is the father, nature is the mother. So if you obey the mother and father, supreme mother and father, then your independence will increase. That is how we can free yourself from the bonds that bind you now. But to the degree we ignore the laws of God and break the laws of God, we go far away from nature, breaking the laws of nature, and to that degree we become constrained. We will see how. See, our uncontrolled mind, it can do so many things to us. Like you see, I was telling you about the thoughts, positive and negative thoughts. See, when the mind is not controlled and you let it loose to go in the way it wants to go, then it is like a flood, uncontrolled flood. Then all these modern day problems are because of not learning to harness the power of mind, very unfortunately. In fact, the wisdom literatures like the Vedas, the Puranas, this morning I was reading a very interesting quote of Chanakya. He says, Brahmashi salpasantushto sunidro laguchetana. He is talking about, and then he says, Swami bhaktascha shuryascha. Six qualities of a dog, he is saying. From a dog you can learn in your life. Even from a dog you can learn so many valuable qualities. He is saying, Brahmashi means a dog has a very great capacity to eat. But he is satisfied with svalpa santushto. With little bit of food, he is satisfied. One should learn this from the dog. Even if you have a big capacity to eat, you should eat always less. You should not eat like a glutton, he says. And then he says, Sunidro sleeps peacefully, undisturbed. But Lagu Chetanaha is extremely alert. Have you seen sometimes a dog is peacefully sleeping in a house? You go and slowly open the gate. Wow! Immediately will. You have seen that? Lagu Chetana means extremely alert. So, like that one should sleep. This means your sleep is pakka sleep, very good sleep. And then he says, Swami Bhaktascha, which means he is loyal and faithful to the master. And Shurascha, and he is very courageous to fight when needed. So one should learn these six qualities from a dog, he says. So in this way, we have so many lessons to learn. Actually, the Panchatantra, the Hitopadesh, the Chanakya Niti, Mahabharata, Ramayana, all these literatures have so much wisdom to give us. But modern students are not taught all these things, nor do they endeavor to learn these things. They only try to eat, drink and be merry and become conditioned like animals. And they are very proud. All they know is only to become proud. Like here you see, these are diseases of modern youth. Lack of confidence, loss of trust, madness, damage to oneself by suicide. All this. So when I have prepared this show, I kept in mind all of you, those of you who have not yet attended the Discover Yourself course. How many of you haven't undergone DYS course? Discover Yourself course? Yeah. Okay. So, some of the topics are basic topics in this. Like here we have shown how are the conditions that are imposed on you, how are they made possible? Here it is shown here. Sattva-guna, Rajoguna, Tamaguna. Goodness, passion, ignorance. These are called as modes of material nature. What are these modes? Guna also means a rope. A rope is used for binding a person. Similarly, these three gunas also bind us by certain qualities. They are called invisible ropes. You can't see them with eyes, but still they exist. For example, a person in tamaguna, ignorance, is bound by nidra, alasya, pramad. Three qualities. Nidra means he wants to sleep excessively. Alasya means he is very lazy. Pramad means madness. Madness means he does all kinds of things. Dirty things he eats. Eating, drinking, smoking, everything he does. Nidra, alasya, pramad. And a person in rajas or passion, he is bound by two ropes called as trishna and sangha. Trishna means hankering for opposite sex. And also hankering for honor, prestige, status, position, name, fame, all these things. Trishna. And sangha means attachment. Attachment for the results. So he's very greedy for the results. So they are very selfishly oriented. People in passion. And goodness, sattva-guna, they are bound by two qualities called as sukham and jnanam. Sukham means happiness and jnanam means wisdom, knowledge. You may ask, how are they bound with these two things? Because a person in sattva-guna thinks he is a good person and there is a pious person. Later on we will distinguish between a pious person and a spiritual person. You see, in the right side it is shown, mode of spiritual nature is transcendental goodness, which is beyond the three modes. So where I got this topic of break free of bonds, I got from one Bhagavad Gita shloka where Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Moha Nirmukto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. There Krishna says, you know, break free of these three bonds and go beyond them. So Sattva-guna, as I told you, has pure qualities. Amongst the three gunas, Sattva-guna is considered the purest. Because when one is in Sattva-guna, all the senses are illumined, Krishna says. Like for example, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, all are illumined. What is the meaning of illumined? Does it mean that there is some light glowing in all the senses? What do you think is illumined? Illumined means a person takes in only pure things through the senses. Like with your eyes, you always see the pure things. With your ears, you hear pure wisdom. With your mouth, you eat only sattvic ahar, a food offered to God. So, that is sattva-guna. So, I told you about the rajaguna also. Tamaguna. So, there are many stumbling blocks in this world that Lord Krishna says, which are also called as bond, or that bind us in this world. Here we are shown the janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Krishna talks about four things. The birth of a child in the womb, and the death, old age, and disease. So these four, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. The evil of birth, death, old age, and disease. One should philosophically understand them. That this is a material world which is a place which is called Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. So, living in the material world means bondage. Because we all have got a body now. Sometimes we go in front of the mirror and we look at our face and we think, oh, I am so beautiful. I am so happy. But if you very carefully think, you will see the soul is entrapped in this body exactly like a bird is entrapped in a cage. And the Shastras say, the body can give you enormous suffering. In fact, the body is designed to avoid you suffering rather than avoid you happiness. Asannapi klesha da ashadeha. This is told by Lord Rishabhadev. He says, how? A simple example. Take for example this finger. How much pleasure, how much pain can this finger give you? For example, you can take this finger and put it in fire. It will pain. Or you can take this finger and put it in a sugarcane machine. It will cause you pain. Or you can take this finger and take a blade and cut it. Cut different portions of the finger. It will cause you pain. You can cause pain in millions of ways for this finger. There are a million ways to cause pain. But how much pleasure can this finger give you? Hardly any. Occasionally when you feel some itching, you put your finger like this. Do like this. That's the only pleasure this finger can give you. So, this body is more designed for suffering than for happiness. So, we can very easily perceive sufferings in this world. For example, on Ekadashi day, you fast the whole day. Just see how do you feel next day. Some people are not even satisfied with Ekadashi prasad. They are waiting, when will tomorrow come? Isn't it? Because you feel so hungry. Just one day. That is the kind of body that we have. Morning when you eat, you feel you are full. You don't want even one grain more. But then afternoon you are damn hungry. Just see? Although the stomach is so small in size, it is so demanding. So in this way, our body is designed to offer us suffering. Like we don't want diseases, we still get. We don't want old age, we don't want death, all these things. So all this is called as conditioned. Just like you say, a room is air conditioned. The air inside a room is conditioned to a certain temperature. In the same manner, your body is conditioned to behave in a certain way. You just cannot escape it. You cannot get out of this body. You see? There is adidevika, adibhautika, adiatmika. Suffering caused by demigods through the agency of nature. And suffering caused by other living beings. Like, you know, there is a Maharaj, Sachinandan Swami. One day he was telling us that when he went to sleep in the night, somehow inconceivably one mosquito entered into his mosquito net. And he said, the lights were off and the mosquito started biting him. He said, I was so angry on the mosquito, I was looking for a machine gun to shoot him down. You know, whole night he said, I was turning this way and that way. If only I had a machine gun, I would have shot him down, he said. My whole night's sleep was gone. So he was telling us how such a small mosquito can make your whole night's sleep miserable. Just see. Now smaller than the mosquito is the virus, which can knock you down for 3 days. Correct? You can have viral fever. You can't even see it with your eyes. Just see. That's adibhautika klesh. Adhyatmika means from our own body and mind. So these miseries also bind us. They stunt our freedom. Like sometimes modern man becomes so proud, He thinks that I am so scientifically, technologically, medically advanced. I can do so many great things. But if carefully observe the adidaivika klesh, the sufferings offered by the material nature are so powerful. Modern man is a small toddler in front of the power of the material nature. Like, you know, when we had the New Orleans cyclones, how powerful they were. They cut off all the telephonic lines, electric lines, the transportation was stopped, the whole city was pitch dark, people wanted to get out of the city. Everywhere there was traffic jam. So, these sufferings are there. And all the man can do is to run away to some other place, and even running away is difficult. One tsunami slapped, 380,000 people died. Just see the power of nature. So we are conditioned by varieties of sufferings in this world. You see, our body undergoes 6 changes. Birth, then the body grows, then it is sustained, produces some offsprings, and dwindles and dies. Every living body, be it a human, animal, or a bird, or an insect. So Krishna says, as the time passes, all the changes happen. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. See, these are 6 changes I told you. Birth, growth, sustenance, offspring, dwindling, death. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you are the soul, just like the driver in the car or bird in the cage, who is bound. Now, you have to get out of this bondage of this material body, which is actually called freedom, liberation. So, as this picture is shown, like you see, a child is born, the child gradually grows to boyhood, then youth, then old age, and all that remains is only the skeleton. But the soul then goes to the next destination by the reincarnation process called as transmigration. You leave one body and then you go to the next body. And not only do you get a human body, one may get any body, one may get animal body also, like you see here. So the bodies are vehicles. So Darwin understood that there is some kind of evolution going on. There is no doubt about that. There is evolution. But Darwin's understanding of evolution is wrong. Why? Just like, for example, when you are in your first standard, and then when you go to second standard, you go to another classroom. When you go to third standard, you go to the third room. Then you go to the fourth room. You are evolving in your education, going from one classroom to another classroom. But what Darwin says, you are in first standard, you are in one classroom, and then he says that first classroom only transforms into another classroom. He thought that the bodies only become transformed, like apes turn into human beings. That's what he thought, isn't it? So he had some superficial understanding of evolution. But the scriptures say the evolution takes place. Jalaja, Navalakshani, Savar Lakshamshati, Krumyo, Rudra Samyakaha. It says that there are a fixed number of species in this world, and the soul traverses through different types of species according to his thoughts and activities. Just like you saw now, we all change bodies. Once we die, death is like changing a dress. Just like every day you change your dress, similarly you change the bodily dress and you accept another body. Based on the karma that you perform, you see, vikarma means acting against God's laws. And karma means punya or pious activities. And akarma means devotional activity, which doesn't give you punya or pap. It is beyond both. It takes one to spiritual world. Like as it is shown here, those who do tamoguna activities, they get suffering. And those who are doing rajoguna activities, means passion, they get immediate pleasure, but then a long-term suffering. Yadagre amritamiva pariname vishopamam. Initially it is like nectar in the beginning, but poison at the end. As time progresses, they suffer more. Just like the students who take to drug addiction. When they take the drugs, they feel a kick. But then later on, it becomes a habit, a chronic habit. And then their entire life is spoiled. Some of them commit suicide also. And sattvaguna activities lead us to detachment and peace. See, these are the sinful activities called vikarma. That are harmful to our body, mind and well-being. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication and illicit sex. So these are also mentioned in scriptures. It's also mentioned by doctors and scientists that if you do these things, you will suffer. Leaving aside the scriptures. But if you see the scriptures, they also say, Dyutam Panam Sriya Suna Yatra Adharmas Chaturvida. They are all called as Adharma activities. So as I was telling about the Papa and Punya, the acts of violence, like they lead to short lifespan, poverty, disease, illiteracy, birth in a bad family, all that. And Punya, good activities lead one to long life. There is one more in the Papa, it leads to legal complications in the next life. Sometimes have you seen people going to court for 15-20 years? One gets as a result of Papa. And punya, good activities lead to all these things. Good health, wealth, good family, intelligence and all that. As you saw, socially reap. That's why you find some people are born fabulously rich. Some are born wretchedly poor. You see, some are born and some are lean. Some are born healthy and strong. Some are born weak and handicapped. Some children are born with a silver spoon and others are born impoverished. So this is all due to karma. So now the word karma has entered into some of the biggest dictionaries now in the world. Because worldwide people have begun to understand that without the explanation of karma, it's not possible to explain why people are born in these different situations. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is seated in our heart as Paramatma Super Soul. And is witnessing our activities. So in every body, there are two souls. Like in all of our bodies, there is an Atma and there is a Paramatma also. Like two birds sitting in a tree. So one bird is eating the sweet fruits and enjoying, sometimes eating bitter fruits and suffering, whereas the other bird is silently watching. So that bird is the super soul. So he's witnessing our activities. So when we are doing bad things, many times we think there is no one around. I am alone. You are never alone. Super soul is always with you. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever state of being you remember while quitting the body, that state you will attain. Just like here it is shown, you see. Somebody wants to eat flesh and drink blood. Their thought process makes them prepare the next body to be a body of a tiger. Somebody who eats all kinds of filthy things, like in one of the countries, people, they put these frogs in a pot for about 2 years, 3 years. And after that, when it becomes almost semi-solid liquid, and they take out the liquid and drink it. You know, these kind of things, dirty things. So people who eat all kinds of filthy things, they will get the body of a pig. You see, somebody who wants to sleep for several hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours, they will get the body of a polar bear. See? They can sleep without any criticism of anyone for 6 months in a year. So as I was telling you in the beginning today, that our thoughts influence our body also over a period of time. Our thoughts have a tremendous influence. Whatever way we think, we gradually become that over a period of time. So we are all preparing ourselves for the next body now by the way we think, because the thought becomes the word becomes action, the actions become habit, habit becomes our character and culture, and the culture brings forth a particular type of lifestyle that will ultimately influence your thoughts at the time of death. And then we will get a suitable body like this. You see, somebody is exposing the body for attracting the attention of others. They get the body of a tree so that they don't have to wear any dress in summer and winter. So there's a story of Nalakur and Manigriva, who were rich kids, sons of Kubera. So it is said that they were misusing the body given to them, human body given to them, by indulging in free mixing with women in Mandakini Ganga. There was a Lord Shiva's garden in the neighborhood, and in the Ganga they were playing in the waters with women. And at that time, Narada happened to pass by. So those women felt very uneasy. They immediately put on their clothes and they ran away from there. But Nalakur Manigriva were so intoxicated, they were drunken on wine, their eyes were reeling, and they didn't care for Narada. They were practically nude. And then Narada cursed them to become trees in their next life. But because Narada cursed them, they became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Later on, Krishna with his vocal goes in between the two trees and breaks those trees, and out come Nalakur Manigriva. So in this way, there are many explanations given in the scripture. In human form of life, we have got a developed intelligence to discriminate and lead responsible lives. Just see. Although all these bodies are conditioning us, human body is the only body where one can understand this subject matter, what we are talking now. We cannot teach this to a dog or a cat. Only human beings can understand this subject. If you engage in these sinful activities, which I showed you earlier, they are called as four pillars of sinful life, then we will suffer the karmic reactions in the hell. So all the bad karma, it's called as Sanchit karma. It's like a huge universal set. And in every lifetime you are given a portion of that Sanchit karma called as Prarabdha karma. In this body you are given some Prarabdha karma. Next life some more Prarabdha karma. And some of it you suffer in the hell. And then after suffering in the hell, then one degrades to lower life forms. Just like we showed you earlier. One gets a suitable body where one can enjoy in the way one wants to enjoy. Because the nature will tell you, I have given you the human body where you can discriminate and act in a righteous way. If you cannot do that, then take the animal body. Like Prabhupada once was walking with his disciples in the morning walk, and he was telling, just look at those trees. They are just standing at one place. How much suffering you see, he said. Imagine if I call one of you and I dig the ground and I put your two legs into the ground up to the knee and you have to stand like that for 2 days. How miserable it is, you see. You cannot move anywhere. Even if I give you food in that place, would you like to stand like that? And that's how the trees are standing. And practically their entire life. So the conditionings or conditions increase depending on our sin. Nalaguru Manigriva were lusty. So they were so lusty that the material nature punished them to have the tree's body where they cannot harm anyone with their hands and legs. Just stay in one place. So Prabhupada called it as stand-up punishment of nature. What is stand-up punishment? Sometimes a teacher tells a student who is very mischievous in the class, stand up on the bench. And then the whole classroom watches him and he has to stand up on the bench for the whole class. But if we lead our lives in a responsible way by following austerity, tapasya, austerity means voluntarily accepted suffering for spiritual advancement. Sacrifice like chanting Hare Krishna, cultivation of knowledge of the holy scriptures, associating with saintly people, hearing Bhagavad Gita. Then we elevate gradually to the kingdom of God. Just see that man, he is bound by the chains and he is brought down. Why? Because of attachment, material attachment, pride, false prestige, ignorance, anger, envy and all these bad qualities. They are degrading him down. And Mayadevi is inviting him, come, come. So Prabhupada says, either you have to surrender to Krishna or you have to surrender to Maya. There is nothing in between. You will always see that. People either surrender to, just like it's like saying, you have to surrender to the state or you have to surrender to the police if you break the laws of the state. Just like you see, there are people who are going upward, accepting spiritual master, studying the Vedas, austerity, sense control, love of God, and they are going up to the spiritual world. So, the real meaning of breaking free of bonds is to go in that upward staircase, as it is shown there, towards Krishna. That is real freedom, as it takes you higher and higher. And people generally think when you say break free of bonds, that means I can do whatever nonsense I want. Yes, you can do whatever nonsense you want, but then you are not free from the punishment. Then we will be degrading like this. Krishna says also, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasa jaganya guna vrittistha adho gacchanti tamasa. He says those who are sattvaguni people, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha, they will go to the heaven. And then he says madhye tishtanti rajasa. Those who are in rajoguna, they will be in the same earthly planet. They will be born again. But Prabhupada says those who are in rajoguna, they may not necessarily be born as human beings. They can be born as mad people also, if they are excessively rajoguni. And those who are tamoguni people, they will go to hell. Or they will go to the lower forms like animals, or birds, or insects. But beyond this hell and heaven, there is spiritual world. Just like you are seeing Lord Vishnu lying in the causal ocean, and from his body come all the universes. In each of these universes, there is heaven, hell, and middle planetary system. So each universe can be compared to one mustard seed, and there are millions of mustard seeds in a sack. That's why he's called as Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayak. So now we are in one of these tiny universes in the middle planetary system. So there is spiritual world, or Vaikuntha, that is beyond heaven and hell and all material universes, about which Lord Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says those who surrender to him, like you see at the bottom, that is material world. So you go out of the material world and you go to the spiritual sky to be with the Lord eternally. That is called as akarma, when one acts for Krishna. So Krishna says how one can go to the spiritual world. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante ma. See, the wise who know this perfectly, they engage in my devotion service. See this fruit vendor lady in Vrindavan. She was carrying fruits for selling. When Krishna brought some palm full of rice, when he came running, most of the rice fell off. Only little rice was left in the hand. But she loved Krishna so much that she gave all the fruits in her basket completely to Krishna. And Krishna is not even able to carry, you see. And seeing her enormous love, selfless love, not wanting anything in return, Krishna became so pleased. Krishna reciprocated her love by offering her a basket full of gold and jewel and diamond and navaratnas. So the wise who know perfectly, know about Krishna, they engage in Krishna's devotional service and worship Krishna with all their hearts. This is devotional service. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Machitta, madgata prana. The lives are fully devoted to my service. So they may serve Krishna in different ways, like you see here, by singing, by painting, by doing kirtan, by preaching and all that. And they derive great satisfaction by enlightening one another and conversing about Krishna. And to those who constantly are devoted to serving Krishna with love, Krishna gives them the understanding by which they can attain Him. So, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me, he says. So, what is the difference between punya karma and akarma? Everyone knows pap karma. But what is the difference between punya karma and akarma? Punya karma means you do pious activities. Like for example, you give water to people, then you are born by the side of a river. Or you give some beggar some charity of food, the next lifetime you will get food in return. Or you give Brahmana 1 rupee, you will get 1,000 rupees in return. So the material punya, what you do, will come back to you as material rewards in the next life. So that way punya and papa both are useless. Why? Because you will be rotating within this small universe, again and again, going up or coming down again and again. But those who connect themselves through bhakti yoga, they will quit this world and go back home, back to Godhead, from where we have come here into this world. So bhakti yoga means giving your heart to Lord. That's a very simple definition. It's very simple. One can be an engineer, one can be a doctor, one can be in any profession. But we have to keep the Lord in the center and lead our lives and do our activities by hearing about Him, by chanting His names, by worshipping Him, by offering our love to Him, and understanding Lord to be the be-all and end-all of our life. Like, you know this famous prayer? Tvameva mata chapita tvameva tvameva bandushcha saka tvameva tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. In the song, the devotee prays, my dear Lord, you are my mother, you are my father, you are my bandhu, you are my relative friend, you are my education, you are my wealth, you are sarvasva, you are everything for me. So, anybody in any walk of life, a housewife, or a boy, or a girl, or a child, or a doctor, or an engineer, or illiterate, or high born, low born, even an animal, like Hanuman, or a Jatayu, or even a child like Dhruva or Prahlad, they all have become great devotees. So, while we are living in this world, we are bound. When we are not following the path of spirituality, how we are bound is explained here, you see. Nasti kama samo vyadihi, nasti moha samo ripuhu, nasti kopa samo vahnir, nasti jnanat param sukham. He says, Chanakya says this, no disease is so harmful and deadly as the lust. You see, when Ravana was lusty, he went to Maricha to request Maricha to become a deer. But Maricha said, Ravana, what do you mean? Don't you understand? The power of Ram, you know, Lord Ram hurled me 800 miles into the ocean with one arrow. And I became so afraid. And even after that, I made a second attempt. I went to Ram, but I went in the form of a stag, a carnivorous stag. And I used to survive on the flesh of the sages and saints in the forest. One day when I accompanied a 3-4 stags with me, and I went to the forest, at a distance I saw Lord Ram with the sages. As soon as he took his bow and arrow, I turned around and I had to flee for my life from there. Fortunately, I was not killed by the Rama Ban, by the arrow of Ram. You know why? Because Rama's arrow never pierces the body of a person who runs away from it. It never chases. Only one who faces it, the Rama Ban will kill him. So I was saved. And later on I decided that I will never have an encounter with Ram. Now I have come into the forest as an ascetic. Now I am performing penance. Now I am doing tapasya in the forest. I have become a good person now. I don't want to do anything bad now. In fact, when I open my eyes and I see all the trees around me, all the trees look like big, big Lord Ramas. Because Rama is wearing tree bark. So I am afraid of Ram so much. If you say the words like Ratha or Ratna, as soon as I hear the word Ra, immediately Rama's picture comes in my mind. I am trembling with fear. So Maricha said, don't ask me. So Ravana said, if you don't obey me, I will kill you. Otherwise, you know, you will be killed by the hands of Ram. Now you decide what you want to do. Maricha said, it is better for me to die at the hands of Ram than to die at your hands. I will attain a better destination, isn't it? So this Ravana was so lusty for Sita. And you know, Havinashakale, Viparita Buddhi. Although he tried to exploit and enjoy Mother Sita, the Supreme Divine Mother, Ravana was finished. That's why he says, no disease is so harmful and deadly as the lust. It's called as Hridrogam. It's a disease. Modern man is so foolish. And there are beauty parlors with the name Provoke. How to provoke man to become passionate, or how to attract a woman by having a, you know, enchanting look, how to be handsome. These kind of ideas are being floated in the modern times. You can imagine how foolish modern man is. He doesn't know the lust should be controlled because it's like a disease. Prabhupada says, if you have a 101 degree Fahrenheit fever already, will you make it 103, 106, 107, so that you can get a marana jwara and die? That's what he wants to do. Lust should be controlled. Similarly, he says, no enemy is more dangerous than infatuation or illusion. Moha, he says. What is illusion? Illusion is something that glitters and appears very attractive and makes you think that it can offer you happiness, but it cannot offer you happiness. Like we said, all that glitters is not gold. Maya's glamour is for fools. He said. Just like you see a naphthalene ball. You know, when I was a small child, I saw a naphthalene ball. I thought it is a very nice peppermint, you know. So I immediately tore off the packet and I took one and I was about to eat it. When my mother and father, they snatched it away from my hands. And I took another packet and ran into another room. They chased after me and they took away the packet from me. My mother told me, this is poison. I said, I can't believe. It is glowing white. It's like lightning. And it is nice smelling also. How can it be poison? She said, you just don't know. Don't even touch it. And this is meant for killing the insects and all. So, in the same manner in this world, many things look attractive. For a rat, the coconut that is hanging in a rat trap looks very attractive. But when he goes inside the rat trap, immediately it is locked. Immediately the door is closed. Same way in this world, there are many moha, illusory things which attract us, and we have to say no to them. No fire is injurious than the fire of anger. And no happiness is better than that attained by spiritual knowledge. Nasti jnanat param sukham. If you really want sukham, you have to attain that wisdom, spiritual wisdom. See, here is a special tip for students. Chanakya says, a student desirous of getting education must shun the following 8 activities. You have to give up, he says. Illicit sex, which means sex before marriage or after before marriage or outside marriage. Gratification of the tongue. Showing anger, greedy. Caring for personal beautification. Moving in a fair for entertainment. Excessive sleeping. And indulging in recreation excessively. So, he says that these are the things that make a student a failure. He says, once you give up these 8 things. Again, we can call these 8 things as bonds or bondages. They bind a person. And many students are victim to this nowadays, if you see. Modern students think they are very great, they are very proud. But I have seen so many students becoming victims to smoking, drinking, you know, illicit connection with women. And their academics is affected, their future is affected, their bodily health is affected, their mental health is affected. They are simply proud for no good reason. So, wise people should learn these things and learn to get rid of bondage by taking to Krishna consciousness. So, these are the 6 Five Noble Enemies: lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion and greed. You see, we are all like puppets controlled by the devatas from the top according to the 3 gunas. It depends on your choice, what type of life you want to lead. Once you have made the choice, then you will be controlled by these passions. And what makes me a slave and how can I become a free bird? So this I explained before. Even animals are in modes. Just see, the elephant is in mode of goodness. It can work along with human beings very well. You know, it can cooperate with human beings. And also elephant is a vegetarian, although he is very strong. Like the cow also is a very mild animal. Like you can touch a cow, she is so calm. But you can see animals in passion. Rajaguna, like the tiger or a lion or a monkey also. They are in passion. Monkey may be very small, but have you seen how a monkey behaves? Jumping from here and there, showing the teeth. He is very, very restless in mind. See animals in ignorance, like the camel. Camel is very dull. Or the fox. Or the donkey. They are like, a fox is a nocturnal animal. So people in Tamaguna are also wide awake in the night. See, these are the qualities of goodness we have to cultivate. Reading of books on philosophy, poetry and science. Humble. No meat, no gambling, no intoxication, no liquor, no extramarital relations. Taking religion as a serious duty, pious, helpful, thoughtful, selfless, honest, clean. All these qualities. So here is a family of Mr. Smith and Larry. Mad after seeing and showing glamour. See, they give charity for gaining name and fame. They work very hard for honor. Selfish. Money is honey for them. Hankering for prestige. Attraction between man and woman. Disregard for scriptures. They also do religion, but that is more of a social affair. You see, mode of ignorance. Foolish, dizzy, lazy, unclean, postponing things, all those things. Disturbing to others, for them there is no need of God. So now all of us are in one of these three modes. A question may arise in our mind. If I am bound by tamoguna or rajoguna, can I rise above it? Krishna says yes in Bhagavad Gita. You may ask the question, is it easy? Krishna says no, it is not very easy. Is it impossible? He says no, it is not impossible. It is possible, but it is difficult. But how is it possible? He says, this Raga Dvesha Vimukta, I have shown this verse in a very simple fashion here. How I think, speak and act will depend on how I endeavor to give up the attachment to wrong things and aversion to right things. Correct? Like we all in our life have attachment to many wrong things. And we have aversion for the right things. Can you give an example? There are many wrong things that we like to do. And right things we shun to do. Like here you see, we have shown. So these are the wrong things to which many people may be attached to. And one should give up those things. That's why Krishna calls them as regulative principles of freedom. How can you have regulation and then freedom also? This means if you regulate these four activities, then gradually you will have more and more freedom of mind. You will become a free bird. You will become really jolly, happy in life by following these four. And what is the aversion for the right thing? That is the one which I showed you before. Chanting of Hare Krishna. Like you tell the people to chant Hare Krishna, they say we have no time. We are very busy. But like Madam was telling us also, how by chanting one evolves in spiritual life more and more. You become very vibrant. So how can you give up lower tendencies and achieve higher nature? This is a summary. We can do mind control through mantra meditation. We can sharpen our intellect through wisdom literatures, like I told you, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Panchatantra, Hitopadesh, Chanakya Niti, all that. We should be eager and inquisitive for associating with the saintly people. Because you know, you become what you associate. For example, if a calf associates with a pig, then the calf also will start eating stool. So if the calf associates with another calf, then he will drink milk. If you want to develop saintly qualities, then you need a company of good friends. Because it is said, you know, you tell me who your friend is, I can tell you what type of person you are, it is said. And we should eat sattvic foods, especially the prasad, which is sattvic ahara offered to God. Avoid meat, intoxicants, gambling, all that. Live a life in harmony with nature and God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, we would also like to thank Madam Chidata Vaidya. She is simultaneously a spiritualist, at the same time as a scientist. She is like a spiritual scientist. So, we look forward to hearing such seminars in future, where we have a blend of science and spirituality. So, many of his students might have been amazed by the presentations that she showed today. There are so many things mentioned in the Vedas which are becoming proven in the modern times, in the life of the modern man, as the modern man is advancing in the field of science and technology. So now we will have a 5 minutes announcement and then we will have Kirtan. We have, also I wanted to say something about this program, Saturday program.